Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, don't go. It's not easy getting God's presence. Come on, hold on to it. Open your mouth. I just want to give you some back to the Lord. And we worship with the angels, and we cry, holy, holy,
holy.
And we worship with the angels, and we cry,
holy, holy.
We in God's presence.
God bless you. Good afternoon. Welcome to Rev Kev's Midday Word of Encouragement, sponsored by Elam Network and my brother Hamill D. Smith. I thank you for tuning in if you're on today. In our nation's day of recognition of independence, that while the nation is celebrating with parades and days off and all those things today, my blog today is more personal in terms of independence. Those of us that know and acknowledge and love God, and while I come from a Jesus Christ perspective, honoring Jesus Christ in his way, I won't exclude Muslims, I won't exclude conscious people, I won't exclude anybody who chooses to listen and choose to just take the strength of my words, maybe not the way I pray, the way my faith operates, But the overall knowing that we belong to God, we're all created by God, we all belong to God, we're all returned to God for judgment, whether we accept salvation or not is up to you, but we're all going to be turned before God. So I'm coming in the spirit of unity in terms of what I'm saying to us to recognize that we all sin and fall short of God's glory. The scripture that I'm using for this entire month would be 2 Chronicles 7:14, and the title of my message for this month would be Sin, Restoration, and Reconciliation. I'm going to read the scripture first, and I'll give context and where I'm starting from for today. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "And my people who are called by my name, humble themselves, pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and heal their land." Now I'm going to go on to the next scripture, next two lines of scripture, 15 and 16. "Now my eyes shall be open and my ears attentive to the prayer offered in this place. For now I have chosen and consecrated this house, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually." Now the context for the scripture was God speaking to Solomon as he had finished constructing the temple and did everything that God had asked him to do. But with all of that, God's desire that he dwell in that house and that he would be there for the people of Israel forever. But sin always has stopped God's continuous presence from being felt, from being recognized, from being honored because of people wanting to go their own way, sin. The scripture, like I said, is pertaining to God's people then, the people of Israel. And truth be told, if I'm going to be on this line, I'm going to tell the truth. The people of Israel were more like Solomon was black. And the people of Israel, not that this is the main identifying factor, but just the truth. The people looked more like woolly hair, dark skin. Those were the people of Israel. Those were the Jewish people then. Now, I may get some disagreement, but that's okay. But just biblical history and in the area, and even the description of Jesus, a short one in the Bible, points that he did not look blonde hair and blue eyed. So I'm going to go on from there. Let people take that as they may. But anyway, if the chosen people, which had been persecuted and still went their own way, no matter what, since that time until now, if we relate it to ourselves in terms of sin, in terms of how it separates from God and the scripture that it calls for, if we follow certain steps to be reconciled, then God, in verse 15 and 16, said his eyes be open and his ears attentive to the prayers offered in his place. And we're temples of the Holy Spirit. If we accepted Christ, we accepted the way and will of Jesus Christ, that we're all openly receptacles for the Holy Spirit to dwell in us, and that we would hear. And in verse 16, it said, "Now I have chosen and consecrated this house." That house would be you, would be me. Those of us that accept the will of God and the Spirit of God dwells in, that is his house. That is his church. That is his place of refuge. If we pertain it to ourselves, even more so rather than the building, that means it's a personal restoration and reconciliation that each person has to go through anyway. In order for us, those of us that call ourselves followers of Christ, those who call ourselves followers of Jesus Christ, we all had to go through a personal process of, it says we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Now, while we were born, our influence and what's around us will help color our view of things. We're all born in sin. But we have a godly conscience, even from our early age, that hate is a learned thing. That even as children, you see children, black, white, whatever color they are, they play with each other. If no one teaches them to have fear, to have a warning of another person's color or the ethnicity, it doesn't happen. Children just play. Children just love. Children just understand. But somewhere along the line, as we grow in the environments, we grow in different environments, we learn how to sin. We learn how to hate. We learn how to differentiate. We learn how to be prejudiced. We learn how to not understand people that don't look like us. So to give a short a roadmap of how this thing works, because the tithe of my earth is sin, restoration, and reconciliation. I won't get to all those today. Whatever I speak about is going to be for the entire month. Today I'm going to kind of start with sin, because it's a common factor for every human being. No matter what faith that you even choose, sin is something that's present in every man. No matter how good we think we are, no matter how beautiful we think we are, we all do things that are not pleasing to God. We talk about people. We go our own way before we have that oh God moment. Before that moment of coming to that crossroads moment in our life, we all pick and choose something that we like that's not God honoring initially. It may start out as something we don't think is not that bad. But in a frame of reference, we don't all reference our lives from the Word of God. At least from the beginning, we may have parents that were raised in it. We may have a grandparent or people around us that grew up honoring the words of God, that grew up honoring the Bible. But we go our own way. We feel it's something we know better, something we can do better than they did, something we know as young children and as young adults that we can do it better. We know more. We can, in the knowledge and stuff that we learn from the world and the area around us, we think that we know better, we can do better. So we go our own way, choosing things that we see, choosing things that appeal to our own personality. Sin, we all pick, we all sin, but we all choose our sin differently. Some people are attracted to the escapism of drugs and alcohol. Some people are attracted to the sin of sex and ego and pride. All these things that separate us from the will of God, from God's perfect will for us. Because even as the scripture points to sin, restoration, and reconciliation, it takes a while for us to get even to the restoration part, because we don't believe we need to be restored to anything. We believe that we're perfect. The phone number for the call-in, I don't know if my brother's at the switchboard, but it's 657-383-0510. I pray that anyone that will call in, if they have questions or comments, it wouldn't be about calling me to argue about faith or about arguing about which one is better. I'm coming from my perspective in terms of the biblical perspective, in terms of me as a follower of Jesus. So I'm not going to argue with you about what you believe. I'm just saying that we all come from God. So you use that as you will. I won't argue with you about what you believe. Please don't call to argue with me about what I believe. If it's not pleasing to you, I guess this may not be the format for you to listen to. God bless. As children, we are born with a propensity towards sin. Although much has to do with our environment and what we are exposed to, we have to be taught to hate and pick up sin in a greater way when we acclimate ourselves to. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Hey, how you doing, Rev Kev? How you doing? Hamill here. Just had a question for you about, you know, of course, what you're speaking about today. Here's my question, right? Will we reap what we sow no matter how much we repent?
Well, I mean, repentance means we turn away from the sin that encompasses. That means it's a turn away and not going back to it. But the consequences
right.
of the sins that we choose, we still suffer sometimes from the consequences of it. And that's where our faith and our love for God will fall into, because sometimes we do things and we know they're wrong, but we don't feel that there'll
mm-hmm.
be a recompense. We don't think there's going to be a reckoning while we live and breathe. We don't think there's going to be a reckoning. That's why people do some of the things they do. But
right.
even though we're restored to God, we don't always the circumstances of what we did don't always stop. And that's also the grace
mm-hmm.
and mercy of God to get us through, to know that God still loves us in the midst of what we do. Because ultimately, our love is for God. And our God is the one, only one that has somewhere to put us. He only has a heaven or hell to send us to or not. So that's what we really owe our allegiance to. And we really sin against God even before we sin against a person.
Amen. Amen. Also, can you give me the number one more time, just in case for those who didn't really hear it, if you
okay.
don't mind?
No problem. 657-383-0510.
Thanks,
God
man.
Bless you.
God
Thank
bless you.
You.
Appreciate your show.
Thank you. God bless you. Okay. We still have a godly conscience. That godly conscience is not exactly the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but it is a godly conscience, because we're all created by God, so we have a bit of God in us. But what we choose to feed, we choose to feed the flesh, that fleshly spirit, that worldly spirit, will be stronger than our godly spirit. But like I said, as we grow up, we choose things that we see. We see things around us. We see money. We see influence. We see things that attract us that we want to partake in. We want to have access to. And some of us know that if we read the Word of God and it convicts us of sin, we stop doing what we do. But sin doesn't seem like it's a big thing when we first get started. We get started innocently in some ways that, you know, drug use, it doesn't start from like, you know, and you know you're going to end up in jail, you're going to end up being a junkie, you're going to end up being alienating yourself from your parents. It starts out as a fun thing, a party thing. But it just soon grabs a hold of us, and next thing you know, we're not chasing a drug. The drug has a hold on us, and we are in grips to it. Sin, sexual sin. We and it doesn't seem like a hard thing. God ordained sex, but he ordained it in the right context. Not for us just to, it's just not a random thing that we just could do because we feel like doing it. And the consequences of that are bad relationships with the women that we choose in our life that we engage in with. It's soul ties. It's drama that left with the woman, drama that's left with you. There's court drama, child support. The children alienated because we aren't there. Children alienated because they weren't really created in a loving atmosphere. They weren't really planned. That doesn't mean they weren't blessed, but they're not blessed because of God's creation, but they have to get to that point. They're sometimes born under duress and under hard circumstances that if we had planned, the children were nurtured and loved in marriage in a situation where both people were equipped to be good parents, both people were equipped to provide and care and show love to the child in a right environment, some of the situation we are in this country right now and in our neighborhoods would not be so. So right there, as the scripture says, we've turned away that my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways. And then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. That's us personally. Our own personal land is at stake. Our own personal sins, which have called God to turn away from us. God doesn't recognize sin. God, he hates sin. Sin is the lack of faith. Sin, for us to participate wholeheartedly in sin, is to say we don't care about God. And say that we want to do our own thing, want to go our own way. We know better. We have a better provider. But God created us. He knows us from the inside out. He knows everything that he destined for each individual. But we all choose to do what we choose to do. And for a while, it seems good. My life, for example, like for the beginning, like I said, God gives us gifts, and gifts are without repentance. But the gifts that we have, what we use those gifts to do, a gift of gab, the way you look, has nothing to do with you creating. You're born a certain way. You look a certain way. You have certain propensities towards certain gifts that God has given. Every good thing comes from God. But what we choose to use those gifts for, before we get to our oh God moment, that's the pride, the arrogance, that's our own personal will, our own personal propensity toward what pleases our flesh. And with that is selfish, because when you seek to please yourself, you're not really considering the other people around you that pray, that love you, that care about you. Even me as an example, I ignored my own mother and father. They loved me and they wanted the best for me. And I'm sure everything they told me was correct according to their life they've been through, and they use their wisdom, their knowledge with some Bible, with some biblical principles to let me know that the way I was going was not going to be pleasing to God. It was going to hurt them. But I couldn't see it like that. All I could see is the things I wanted to do. I thought that I was being constrained. And we could turn into teenagers and we're going to go our own way. We want to do what we want to do. And we feel that anything that hinders that is stopping us. The phone number again is 657-383-0510. Press 1 to call in. Even as a teenager, when we start feeling ourselves, we start feeling our own, you know, our physical urges are coming up. We're turning into young men and young women. We want to do what we want to do. We don't like being told what to do. We don't like being under our mother and father's wing so much. But it's a reason for that. We're young only for a short while. But as we turn into adults, as the age of consent, we're responsible for what we do. We're responsible for the sins that we commit. We're responsible for ignoring sound judgment and sound wisdom and guidance. And that starts us on the way to our own personal sins and the things that encompass us, the things that stop our life from being joyful, the things that stop our life from being fruitful, the things that stop our dreams from coming to fruition. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of that way is death. We all choose our own way. We choose our own feelings. We choose our own understanding. Even though there's always someone around that sees you and points and says, young man, change the way you live and it's not going to benefit you. Young lady, don't follow after that, after what you're going after. It's going to hurt you eventually. But all of us think we know better as we're young. But sooner or later, the things that make us laugh, the things that make us happy in our youth, soon in our young adulthood, makes us cry. The sin we so easily that encumbers us as we continue on in drug use. It calls for certain situations to take place. It calls for alienation from our families. It calls for neglecting of our even sometimes hygiene and neglecting of family ties, neglecting what's really important, neglecting of our jobs. And it leads to incarceration, possibly death, injury, diseases. Promiscuity leads to children sometimes unwanted at the time. And they feel the effects of that. We use the child support, the separation of black families, if I can specify right now, who we suffer more than anybody else in this country about the alienation of being able to get along together. Black men, black women, making choices when we're young to go our way and do what we want to do that makes us feel good. Not necessarily is good for us and is good to us, but makes us feel better. And we end up following on that road that Satan has prepared for us to get away from God, to see that we follow our own way. And the devil tries to make it look nutritious for us, that we would go away from God's will and that we'd seek our own will, seek our own pleasure. But as we know, those many that are on the line at a certain age, all of us have reached that oh God moment in our lives. That moment in our lives where we know that the way we're living is not good. As a personal experience, when I speak and when I share on here, I often use my own life as an example to make things clear, because I'm not really ashamed of the things. I sometimes regret the things you've done in the past, and yeah, you regret the hurt, but God has forgiven me, and I've asked forgiveness of most of the people that I could find that I know in my life that I've did things to or hurt my children's mothers, and even other people in your life that are residual. I wish that my mother and father were alive, that I could tell them how much they, my mother, father, and grandmother, how much I could tell them how much I love them, and what they said to me was always true, but I didn't want to hear it at the time. My mom was alive long enough for me to know that my life had changed. But I wish I had more time with all of them. But sin is always a consequence of sin, as my brother called and asked. Change the situation. Sometimes it does not. Repenting just means that's your personal journey to get back to God. Your personal journey on the way to reconciliation. Your personal journey on the way to restoration. Excuse me, before reconciliation, restoration. Of restoring that conduit, restoring that connection between you and God, so that he may start to put you back on the right path of where he wanted you to be from the beginning. But we all have to have our testimony. We all have to have our experience so we can reach back and help someone else. So that's why I don't mind sharing my past, sharing the things that have happened to me, that God has even brought me out of through all these things, through drug use, through promiscuity, through stubbornness and pride and arrogance, all these things that had my life in a situation where I had to say, oh, God, please help me to assess what you're saying. Because the scripture I saw when I was in my worst moment, it said that I seek God with my whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, that he'll restore what the enemy had taken, what I had submitted to the enemy, what I had freely given away, my freedom of living right, my freedom of being a good father, my freedom of being a good man, my freedom of being able to be a good husband, my freedom of being able to leave a mark, a positive mark on this world. and being able to say that, you know, I left a legacy of something positive rather than if I had died in the midst of my sin, all my kids would say, yeah, my father, yeah, he was one of them sick guys. He died selling drugs. He died being a man of the streets. He dressed nice. He talked nice, but he wasn't a good person. He wasn't there for me. He didn't leave me anything that I could count on, I could say that I'm proud of. And that bothered me at the age of 42. That bothered me that sin had taken me so much further than I planned it. Then when I recognized it was sin, I couldn't free myself. And I seen what that scripture said in Matthew 6:33, that if that he'll restore those things back to me. So with being so upset and aggravated with my own life and miserable with my own life, I seek God's will. I said, okay, if I do what he says do, and I tried everything else, that these things will be added back to me. Right at that time, I just wanted basic things. I didn't care. I wasn't looking for a ministry. I wasn't looking at helping people to get back, get to God. I was just looking at my own personal comfort, just being able to have my own place, my own refrigerator, my own stuff without child support taking everything that I earned and all the recompense of sin, worrying about going back to jail because I couldn't get a job and I had to sell hustle or do something in the streets. When I decided to come to New York in 2001, which I regard that as my Independence Day, July 5th, 2001, that's the day when I made the step to come to New York to change my life, through initially going to Teen Challenge and submit my life to God and saying, okay, I tried everything my way. Now, God, if you can help me, I need you to intervene in my life. I need you to make these things you just said to me true. I'm going to surrender you. I'm going to do things your way. And that's why I followed Christ Jesus. When I had drama, when I had my trials, that's the name I called out to. And my life, 2001 to 2017 today, has been so drastically changed that those even on this line and on Facebook and that knew me from my past, the way I know that, you know, what I've said has been the truth. And God is the only one that's restored my children back to me, restored my self-esteem, restored me having a good marriage, a great wife, that, you know, all these things were so miracles. I even had my marriage testimony on Facebook that's up yesterday. Last year we ministered in church about a testimony, and this past Friday we ministered on 2 Chronicles 7:14, and that's why I decided to do that for this month, to use that as a theme for this month of sin, reconciliation, restoration, which is a process we all have to make in order to get to God, to get to God's perfect will, that he can operate and return the blessings that I'm talking about, not just what I heard, but I've lived through. And as I've submitted my life to God and I've surrendered to him, he's given all these things back. And even where we are, where I sit right now, and I'm looking out the window to the grass and the trees, the peace that's around me right now, that's only God. I didn't have the money to do it. I didn't have the job to do it. I put myself out of so many situations through sin, going into the Air Force, singing. Man, so many good jobs I messed up through pride and arrogance. But I thank God for his restoration. I thank God for that oh God moment when I found God and said, okay, God, I surrender to you. So next week, next Tuesday, I started the second part of it, the part of restoration. I pray everyone has a blessed and pleasant day today. Be safe, stay alive, stay out of trouble. Seek God in everything you do, because God is the one keeping you upright, walking, talking, breathing. So today, if maybe you don't know God, you don't know Jesus Christ for the pardon of your sins, it's a good day to seek him and start your own personal
It's not easy getting day. God's presence. Come on, hold on
freedom.
To it.
I thank you for sharing this. Thank you for being online and listening today. God bless you. Have a blessed and pleasant day. Amen.